Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
And we're back again, another week, DL Gaming. Big news, we've got a new YouTube channel. What is that YouTube channel?
It is DL Gaming.
Yeah, just DL Gaming. That's
it, DL Gaming. And there's a few other ones, so you might not be able to find us. Just look for our logo. It's the green keyboard with DL. It says DL Gaming or Digital Logic.
It's going to be linked on our Facebook.
Yeah, we'll have
our
links
DL
everywhere.
Gaming page.
So. Yeah, we'll put the link up everywhere.
I know we ask you guys to do a bunch of things. Go do this, go like Facebook, this and that. If you could do one thing this week as you're listening right now, please just subscribe to our YouTube channel. And like what I've always said, the more listeners we have, the better our content will be getting. So any support would be greatly appreciated.
I feel like you give them one piece of homework every week.
Yeah.
It's always one thing.
You know, we provide something. I don't know if it's good or bad, but yeah, we provide something. So in exchange, it'd be great to.
Yeah.
I'm asking for literally two clicks.
Yeah,
two clicks.
We don't have any ads on our.
No.
Like we're not making money out of this,
yeah,
so this is just for your benefit, for our benefit.
Yeah,
and that's all.
And we'll be putting up whatever videos we make. Hopefully, we're going to be doing more video content. We're going to be having videos for our episodes as well. And we've got a guy helping us out with that. Geyser, one of our old Smite buddies. Going to be taking care of that for us.
Yeah, so he did last week's, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, so this will be up. That will be up by the time. It's already done. We're just having trouble uploading it, but it will be up probably tonight or tomorrow. But anyway, it'll be definitely be up by the time this airs. So go check it out. Basically, what it is it's last week's episode, but with video overlay of exactly what we're talking about as we talk about it. So maybe we talked about something, and you're like, oh, I don't know, and you didn't want to go search it on your own. Now you can just watch and see what we're talking about. It's really cool. He did a fucking kick-ass job.
I'm amazed. Like, I think this is the way. If I know we do podcasts, so you can listen to it while you're doing other stuff like driving or whatever.
Right.
But if you listen to us while you're on your computer, you should be watching the YouTube channel.
So here's what I'm thinking, right? So if you're not doing it while you're driving or working out or banging, whatever, all these other things.
Wow, don't listen to us while you're banging, please. Holy smokes, I didn't think about that.
If you're not doing that, put us on Facebook, on YouTube, and listen to us while you game. And then if something comes up, and this is what I'm thinking, how it could play out. Oh, what are they talking about exactly? Pause your game, pop out, listen. Look at the thing, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
When I was looking through Geyser's one that he did for last week's episode,
right,
like I was watching The Enemy Within while we were talking about it.
Made so much more sense.
Yeah, so much more sense.
Yeah.
Like you can see the games that we're talking about while we're talking about it. So
basically, you don't need an imagination anymore.
Exactly.
Fuck your imagination.
So basically, the video is really good or we're just really bad at explaining things.
Yeah.
It could be both.
It could be both.
I think it is. Okay. So yeah, that's what's going on. Also, there's a PC Gamer had a top 15 co-op games list. And I'd have to say I agree with most of the decisions they made on this list.
Well, there's only so many, really.
Yeah, you know, co-op, I know we've talked about it in the past, but it's not really that old. Think about to the 90s, early 2000s, there wasn't a whole lot of co-op options. Now it's just every game has to be co-op.
NES, had two controllers,
yeah,
and I would say a really large portion of their games were meant for co-op.
Yeah, but we're talking about PC gaming.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant as a concept, sir.
No, PC gaming, you start off in a singular world because your PC doesn't have multiple inputs. So it arrived to the show a little bit late compared to consoles, but we're catching up with a vengeance. First, we went online first before consoles did, and now...
And now we're going to the sofa.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a
now
lot
we've got
co-op.
The couch co-op with Steam Big Picture mode.
We're so awesome.
I'd have to say I do agree with their number one choice, Left 4 Dead 2. I feel like that was really the pivotal moment for co-op for the PC.
Like, just led with the lead. You're supposed to bury that, dude.
That's the
know.
Only one on this list I really care about.
Wow.
I mean, there's some good ones.
Arma 3, they list as number 2?
Yeah, there's some new... Go ahead, sorry. Go on with your Left 4 Dead rant.
That's all I got on Left 4 Dead 2. But really, the only two that I'd want to mention off of this list is Left 4 Dead 2, which I think is the best co-op game out there.
Probably.
And also Dead Island, which I feel was a little overly criticized, but I had a lot of fun with that, and so much better with co-op. Dead Island Riptide, the expansion, actually it was a sequel.
Sequel.
Was even better, in my opinion. They kind of polished out the bugs, refined it a little bit.
I'm a little amazed. So Portal 2 is number 5 on
their
list. That's
ridiculous. That's my number 1,
yeah, it's got to be up there. And then they put Divinity Original Sin as number 4. Just looking at those two next to each other, I love Divinity so far. Putting it ahead of Portal 2, that just seems...
It's ridiculous.
Asinine.
Yeah.
Portal 2 is a great multiplayer experience. One of the best, I will say, but it is a one-time experience. Once you figure out those puzzles, you can't really go back and do it, not even with a new person. But they've opened up to where there's community content. People have made their own maps and rated it, and that helps out a lot as well.
And I haven't been on there for over a year, but my big disclaimer, or not disclaimer, but my big gripe was it that people weren't making, or maybe the tools didn't support you being able to make co-op maps. I don't know if they're doing it now, but hopefully they have. Because I would totally go and play a bunch of them. That would be really fun. Yeah.
And then the one that I didn't know anything about was this Artemis that listed as number 3.
Yeah, I love the headline. That's why I put it on here. It said, let's be perfectly clear so that they get away from any legal troubles. Artemis is not a Star Trek game. And then the first line of the official thing was, this is the greatest Star Trek game of all time. It's pretty fucking awesome. It's basically a simulation of the bridge of a starship, and you have your captain and all that, and each player is a different
role.
Yeah. You really have to go, when Picard tells Wesley, you know, we need to go this way, somebody has to actually punch that in, that we have to go this far, this fast. So you're managing a spaceship. It's pretty sweet. Like in concept.
Do you actually like fight against other people that are doing the same thing?
I don't think so. I didn't read too much into it.
Huh.
Now, I think I posed this question maybe a few weeks ago, but I'm going to ask it again. What do you think's a good number for co-op? We're talking 2 people, 4 people.
So I think 4 is the magic number. And this is why, because people pair off a lot. And pairs meeting is very common.
Yeah.
This is how we met Geyser.
Yeah. And I think 4 is a good number. You know, variable numbers are always the best one. If you had to choose one number for me, it would be 4. But really, Smite, we were doing some 4-player matches last night in Siege mode, and then we switched to some 5-player in Arena and got some random coming in. Like, it's nice to be able to have different numbers and be able to do different things with that.
Yeah, and that was a really smart decision in Smite to come out with the new Siege mode. Well, not really new now, but a 4-player mode, because a lot of times you had a group of 4 people, you couldn't join a conquest map, you couldn't queue up for
3v3. You used to be able to. I guess it caused more problems than not.
What?
The joining with 4 people on a conquest.
So, I told you this a couple weeks ago, I watched that game dev there was a game developer conference with the League of Legends guy that they were talking about sportsmanship in gaming.
Okay. Which, by the way, I commend them on getting away with toxic players. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. They have no tolerance. But hey, step your game up on making new accounts then.
Yeah.
All they have to do is come up with buttfuck.com for their new, you know?
Buttsacks.com.
Buttsacks? If only somebody owned that.
You know what, though? They can enforce that stuff as much as they want, but it really comes down to the community and kind of just changing the way that people interact with each other. I don't know if this is recent or not, but I've noticed since I've gotten back into Smite, there's this new term, BM, bad manners.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's not nearly as new as I think it is, but that's a phrase that people throw around, and you know, it's kind of like looked down upon if you're really rude in a game. You know, it's stuff like that that is going to change it.
It's almost like you're sounding like change culture is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like people in general. Yeah.
I think people get sick of something and then they go push against it. But the reason I brought that up was that one of the things he said is they have a 5v5 setup, and they did research and they found the best results they got is if groups of 2 or 3 were paired then up with singles. They said the worst experiences was with 2 teams of 2 in a same team and a single in the same team. As far as enjoyment is concerned, because they said teams of 2 would fight against each other on who is controlling the strategy and the gameplay and how they do it. Whereas if you do a pair and 3 singles, the pair will dominate the strategy and the 3 singles will tend to just go along with it.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting mechanics going on that people in general tend to follow that show up in these co-op
kind
of games.
I want to talk about this a little bit. When you start playing a MOBA, or Smite, let's say, is the one that I play the most, like leadership, I mean, you're thrown in with four strangers, and then all of a sudden, either somebody takes the lead or earns the lead. I feel like they kind of earn the lead. The guy that's showing to be having a good game or playing very well, when he says shit, I usually listen.
Yeah.
But in the absence of a good player that's a good leader, is it good to just have somebody that steps up and just takes?
I think,
'cause I feel that's who I am.
There's been plenty of people who've taken the lead and you shouldn't follow them, though.
Yeah. That's me. So. I think
in a MOBA strategy, I think like an ADC or a hunter, they just, because that's the most important role, I tend to follow them. If they say something, then the reason I feel they pick the role is because they're the strongest player. And then, so then I tend to follow what they do.
But I guess what I'm asking is a bad leader worse than no leader?
That's a good question. Probably.
I think it was Alexander the Great that said, a army of donkeys led by a lion can beat an army of lions led by a donkey. How good is that?
Yeah, I probably believe that.
Right. So, I don't know. I think you need somebody, like we said the other day, that you need to stick with the group. Even if they're making a mistake, you need to go with them.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's so much of a matter of leadership, though, as it is knowing what your role is and how to fulfill that best. And good players know what to do in certain situations. So the good players will go one way, and then the people who don't know what's going on will not do that or not follow along. Or maybe they will tag along. Who knows? But it's not necessarily one person saying, hey, we should go do this, and everyone goes and does it. Like, there's a lot of unspoken things going on in Smite, possibly in other games too.
And I think that a lot of the raging happens when two people try to take control. I mean, that happens right away, even in the picking stage.
Yeah, you
know? And then it just flames into craziness.
And and that's what it really comes down to, a lot of these multiplayer co-op kind of games, is, you know, having that strong leader that goes and leads the team and letting other people follow behind that.
Yeah. Well, that's just part of co-op games, is dealing with personal problems between people. I mean, I even had, when I first started playing Monaco, I remember some guy like yelling at me because I didn't know what the hell I was doing in that game. Like, it was like my first or second game, and this dude was getting angry.
The way you get angry with us?
No, I'm more of a quiet anger.
And speaking of Monaco, it's number 11 on this list.
Yeah, are you surprised to see it there?
I really enjoy that game. And again, I think I'm going to bring it up every fucking episode. Is the game good, or is hanging out with your buddies good? And at the end of the day, the combination of both is the best way.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list of 15, and I know I'd have fun with all 15 of these if I was hanging out with you guys.
Because I'm pretty awesome.
Playing this game.
Yeah.
Because you're tolerable. What I find interesting is some of these games have role-based mechanics, such as
Monaco,
and Left 4 Dead 2.
Left 4 Dead. There's no role in that. Nice try, though.
And then some of these don't. Portal and, you know, obviously Left 4 Dead 2, because I screwed that up. But I find it odd that some co-op games work better with different roles, and some of them work better when there's no roles assigned at all, and you kind of have to make it up on the fly.
Yeah. I did want to talk on Arma really quick, why they put it on the list. There's a new mode called Zeus. Have you guys heard about this?
Mm-mm. No.
So he's basically, there's a player that plays as a DM, and he sets up a scenario for everybody, and he'll spawn mobs and put them in the way and give them objectives. And if somebody like makes him mad, he shocks him with lightning and kills him. Anyway, people are having a lot of fun with this, and that's why people are calling it a co-op, because you go through this dungeon.
Didn't we talk Shadow?
Yeah, Shadow Realms.
Realms has something similar to this, but this is more competitive. This isn't really competitive.
No, it's versus bots.
But the Zeus can't win. He's just controlling.
Correct.
He's like a DM of a tabletop game.
Yeah. Okay. And he's trying to be challenging without killing everybody.
And I think that's what Shadow Realm was going for as well. More of a tabletop dungeon master type
Thing. Really? Because I felt like Shadow Realms, from the gameplay I saw, it felt like Evolve to me. Like 4v1, and the one was trying to stop you from getting through.
Yeah, but in Shadow Realm, if I'm not mistaken, he could possess certain NPCs, or he could lay traps, or he could change the layout of the dungeon or the instance. Like, it wasn't just he was directly opposing them. There were many ways for him to interact with
correct,
the other
but
players.
His
goal is to stop them.
Is to stop versus the Zeus.
I think.
So in Zeus, you're
making it fun for
your
them.
Objective.
Yeah. Like a DM, like the game, the challenge is to make it enjoyable for all the players.
Yeah, and what's cool is like you really, I feel that it gives you a real sense of being Zeus. Like you're looking down on these guys, you know, and you can zoom in and you can fucking kill them at will. That's pretty cool, you know. You have Armor 3, Bobby, but you haven't played it, right, much?
No, not Armor 3. I played a little bit of 2, but not 3.
Yeah.
You know, one more thing on co-op games I wanted to bring up is communication and the different ways that games will allow communication between players, be it text, be it voice, be it nothing at all. There's one game that I can think of, Double Dragon Neon, I think it was.
You love that game. I wanted to buy it and play with
it. It was a good game, and I would play it again. You know, it's a brawler beat 'em up. I enjoy those games. But you can join someone else's game or have someone join your game, and there's absolutely no communication between the two of you. You can't type to them, you can't talk to them at all. And I wish I could think of another example where
Border,
that was the case.
Journey on PSN is like that. No communication between players. Yeah.
And I almost like that in a way, because it forces you, in Double Dragon Neon, you can high-five each other to get special powers, Gleam, and you
Gleam?
Can split.
It's called Gleam?
Gleam is like, your special powers. Or you can high-five each other and like, I can give you half my health, you know, to help you out. So there's all these non-verbal ways that you have to learn to communicate with the person that you're playing with. And I think that's really interesting. It makes a new dynamic. But some games, you know, Smite in particular, now that they've implemented curse voice, I find that helps out a little bit with people being rude. Like, there are some people that I know would have started talking some shit in text, but because I was on voice chat with them, they're being a little bit nicer. On one occasion, I even had one guy leave voice chat, then start typing a bunch of shit to everybody and trolling in there. So I feel like people are a little less... I know this is not always going to be the case, but I think people are a little less likely to be rude when there's voice involved.
Dude, it's true. Dude, it's like, wow. There's two really extremes where you're completely anonymous on like YouTube and you're making comments and you could just say the most hateful, rudest shit ever, right? Then you go to the other extreme where you're standing in front of somebody and they would never say a goddamn thing out to you like that, right? And then the voice is like somewhere right in the middle where they could troll, but they probably won't because, you know, it might get heated. It's really interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't fight back.
It's more personal.
Yeah, for sure.
And people do the same thing in cars. You know, if there's like a car window between you and someone else, you're a lot more likely to be like, you know, fuck this guy with the fucking rims and shit. You know? Like people get very aggressive when there's like, when we interact with machines to interact with other people rather than directly face to face. So I don't know. But that's interesting with co-op games because a game has to make a decision. How do I want my players to be able to interact with each other?
Yeah.
Yep. So let's see. What else Portal 2 should be number one or two, I think. Divinity, having a good time with that. Magicka, we had a good time with that. That was interesting and fun.
Yeah.
Like, I had a good time with that game.
I had a good time with Magicka and a terrible time with Magicka. What was that one? The Magicka Wars or whatever? Oh, man, I did not get into that.
Yeah.
Kaiser brings up a good point. He's now our producer, by the way, guys. So he's going to be, we can see what he's texting and stuff, and he's controlling a lot of the information that we're seeing. And he's talking about reputation systems. I think, who is it? Riot has probably the premier one
they,
of these.
That's an important aspect of them. You know, like they're really trying to control the manners of their players to make sure that everybody has the best experience possible.
Don't they also, aren't they known as knowing, I mean, they're having one of the most toxic environments, right? Aren't they?
Well, they've got one of the largest player bases.
Right. Well, here's my question on reputation systems. Can you give me a good example of one that works well? I'm not saying there isn't one. I'm just saying I don't think I've ever really met one. Like when someone says, hey, I'm going to report you, it's like, ooh, big deal. You know, you don't get, you aren't concerned about that.
Well, that's what we're talking about with Riot. Yeah. Riot's actually banned like
a lot. And top players
and stuff
like
that.
For being toxic.
Yeah.
And great system. How about you fucking back it up? I'm really, really against how easy it is to make an account.
Yeah.
So I need verification. Like, you don't even have to actually have that email. You could just put in a fake email address and have an account. Yeah. So if you're going to implement this shit, back it up and make it hard to, not hard, but harder to join
the game. None of them are perfect. Like, Riot's got a really good system in their game. They've got a carrot and stick method where you reward people for doing good behavior and can report people for doing bad behavior. So it's both the carrot and the stick, but it's so easy to make new characters that if you get hit with the stick enough times, you just start a new one over.
Right, and you lose whatever you gained at that point. But if you're a toxic player, you don't give a fuck anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So the other thing that's going on this week is PAX is coming up next week. That's like the third on the list behind E3 and Gamescom. Like, PAX is another one that's coming up.
I kind of put PAX like number two for some reason.
You think so?
Just maybe because, I don't know. Yeah, just in my head.
I'm sorry, was this PAX West or East?
This is PAX Prime. This is PAX West.
Okay.
So it's coming up next week. I'm going to be up there. I'll be up there for work. I'll be working it for 4 days. So,
Chad's a booth babe.
Yeah.
God damn it, you beat me to it. He's got the tits for it.
That's true. So, yeah, I will be up there. There's no way anybody's going to know who I am. So, don't say hi to me or do if you can figure out who I am.
They've seen your picture on. I mean, if they're really into it, if they're going to PAX, they're listening to the podcast. First of all, he doesn't have a life.
Yeah. Well, no.
No, that would be cool, though.
But I'm going to get as much as I can. I'll report back to you guys next week, let you know what I learned. I'll be working, so I'm not going to be able to get a whole lot of information.
Have you figured out if you want to do a Skype call maybe from there, or do you want to do it when you come back?
We'll figure it out.
Okay, cool.
If I get any swag, maybe we can, if I can get a t-shirt or something, maybe we can...
Give it away. Yeah, cool. That'd be cool.
So
our own little loot crate.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. If you guys don't know what PAX is, it's set up by Penny Arcade and...
Penny Arcade Expo.
Penny Arcade Expo. Yep.
PAX.
And it's now like the premier for the fan-based expo for
almost
video games.
By the fan, for the fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they cover a lot of things there. Gaming, tabletop console, PC, comics. They have, what's that comic strip that they do? Because it's set up by like those two main guys.
Gabe and...
Why
am I trying to blank?
It's called Penny Arcade.
I know, Tycho and...
Tycho and Gabe.
Yeah, Tycho and Gabe. And they actually have... I really enjoy those games. Penny Arcade's Rain Slick, Precipice of Dark... It's got the
greatest title ever.
But
Rain Slick, Precipice of Darkness.
On the Rain Slick, Precipice of Darkness. The first two, great. Highly recommend. 3 and 4, both made with RPG Maker or something. I didn't like those nearly as much. But the first two, highly recommend.
Cool. I don't know how you get a sense of these things. I don't know why I have this in my head, but I feel... I've never been to any of these things, but I feel that PAX has a little more heart than E3.
It does. Like, E3 is supposed to be for industry only. You're not supposed to be able to get in there unless you're industry. PAX has no restrictions. If you can get if you can get the tickets, you can go in. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like, it's a lot of fanboys, a lot of like costume people in costumes.
People that want to be there, not people that need to be there.
Exactly, and it's a lot more fan service as opposed to E3, which has a lot more.
Industry service.
Yeah, and it's glad handing, and it's a lot of like people who know people, and can you get in here, and can you get in there? PAX isn't like that. It's more like it's a big party. Everybody show up, have a good time.
Cool. So, sounds awesome.
Cool, yeah. And that starts August 29th?
Yeah, through the 1st, I believe. So, which goes right through the weekend, which screws up our recording.
What city's in it?
But it's Seattle. Oh, Seattle's PAX Prime, because that's
convenient.
That's where Penny Arcade is based out of. And then they do another East Coast one, which is, I forget where that East Coast one is.
Nobody cares about that one.
For
that
Boston. Well. Thank you, Gezer. It's in Boston.
They'll be showing all that stuff on Twitch. I watched a lot of stuff on PAX East. I think that was back in June.
That's the one we don't care about.
Yeah. So should we get into what we're playing or what?
Yeah, let's do it. Who wants to start?
Woo! I think you do, Bobby.
Yeah, I have so much. I'll keep mine for the end.
All right. So I think I've finally come down from my smite addiction. haven't been playing as much of that lately. Just not into it as much. It's like, I feel like a cigarette smoker that had quit smoking every time I stop playing Smite. It's just a very weird cleansing feeling.
Dude, it's so goddamn good. We played for how many hours last night?
Yeah, well, when there's a bunch of people that hop on and say, hey, let's go play this game, then yeah, sure, I'll do that.
I'm sorry, but, dude. Mm-hmm. What just happened right now is kind of like we were at a AA meeting. You went up and said you were clean. And I was there last night getting drunk with you.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what just happened.
Somewhat similar to that.
But what I'm saying is the heart isn't in it. Like, I played terribly last night, and I think that's because, A, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and B, I just wasn't feeling the game anymore. Which is good, because it's freed me up to finally get back to some other games. And one of those games, I'm taking it way back. All that Warcraft talk last week got to me, so I started playing Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos, which I go back to every now and again. This game came out 2002. And, of course, it's one of Blizzard's most successful games, really put Warcraft on the map. Really like the story in this, really like the gameplay. It holds up. You can edit the registry to fix the resolution on this, so you know, you can get 1080p. And it looks okay, but the gameplay totally holds up. So I'm really enjoying it. I don't know if I'm going to go straight into the expansion Frozen Throne right after this. I don't know if I'm that crazy about it. But it's been going well, and I'm sure a lot of people know this, but maybe there's some people that don't. This is where Defense of the Ancients came, which then was picked up by Valve and became Dota 2. But Dota, the original one, first started out as a mod for this game, and God, people were crazy about it. I remember so many people playing that game. Really, really popular. I never really got into it all that much, but then when Valve took it up and made it into this huge thing, like that, it became a whole nother beast.
This is how a conversation went between me and Bobby a little while ago, a couple days ago. Bobby. Yep. What are you playing? Reign of Chaos. Oh, cool. Is that a new title that came out on Steam or something? It's Warcraft. Warcraft 3. Reign of Chaos. He's so into playing the single player game. First of all, he can't talk to me. And second of all, I was like, what is this thing? I forgot that that's what that was called. I thought it was an individual release.
I think a lot of people forgot about this or just never even played it. But it's actually worth going back to, I'd say. Oh, what else was I going to say about this?
2003, Dota came out in 2003. That's crazy.
Yeah, and there were several versions of the first Dota. They kept updating it. Then they had Dota All-Stars, and then it was like Dota 6. There's so many versions. It really wasn't until Valve came along that they kind of finalized it and like made it one thing with Dota 2.
I'd like to know if the dudes that originally modded Warcraft 3...
Frogman and I forget.
Are they making money? Did they make money? Are they
Frogman? I think his name's Frog, Ice Frog, or something like that. Okay. He was hired by Dota.
Okay.
Good. I mean, by Valve.
I want all those dudes to be making. They started a genre.
I know, but. You know, you sign the you sign the agreement that says any mods that you make are property of Blizzard when you do it. So,
but when you show talent, a lot of times you get picked up. There's been
the Counter Strike guys, got picked up by Valve.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I think Blizzard missed the ball on this because it was made off their system and they're not in the mobile. I mean, they are now, but. They didn't pick it up when they could have.
Back then, like 2002, 2003, people weren't giving a lot of weight to mods. You know, same with Counter-Strike. That came out and kind of became this huge thing. And I feel like Valve was the only company that was like, no, there's money in this. This is actually big business. You know, this is what people want. Yeah. Let's give it to them and make a buck off it.
And that's why Valve's doing so well. They're so good at predicting the future. I don't know if it's Gabe or who it is, but they see trends and he knows where things are headed. Steambox, I said it was fucking stupid. It looks like it's going to do well. But we're not there yet. We'll see.
I remember what I wanted to mention about this. The PvP in this is surprisingly still alive and well. I checked the ladders and people are still competing.
Did you play?
I did get into one game and it didn't take too long to find a match. So I was surprised. 12 years later, people are still playing this game.
And you got smashed, right?
No, I did all right. I remember this game so well. I played a lot of it. This was one of those games, like maybe 8 years ago, that I would come home from work. This is when I was working tech support. I remember this vividly. I would come home and I would just play like maybe 4 hours of this and then go to bed. Like for every day. This is one of those games for me.
This game is a weird game for me because Warcraft 2 was one of my favorite games of all time. And Warcraft 3 came out, and I don't remember ever playing this game.
Warcraft 3 was one of the...
And I don't know why that is.
I was a PC gamer, and this is the first time... I was new to PC gaming. I had to jump over. The multiplayer was just like, wow, you play other people.
Well, you know what was so great about Warcraft 3 was it was the first RTS that I had played with a hero in it. I had played Command & Conquer in a lot of Age of Empires, and all those had units in them, but never one hero that you can level up and has abilities and kind of you rally your troops around him.
See, I hated that when that came out because it was
crazy,
like,
man,
more,
that was awesome.
It got too micromanagement for me. I think that's why I didn't really play it. It hit the
you
level.
You had to buy him items and shit, right?
Yeah, it hit the level of too much micromanagement for me.
Yeah, well, they simplified it a bit when they turned this into Dota, and then you just had one character, no minions. Now, StarCraft doesn't have that, right?
Wait, hold on. You're saying Dota 2 is less complicated than...
Well, Dota, you just control the hero character,
not the side
characters.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. But still way more complicated than Warcraft's, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's not less complicated.
I know you only
I'm saying
thing.
The controls are more simple. You don't have to micromanage like StarCraft. You don't have to move 50 units on your screen all different directions.
Actions per minute or whatever it is.
Yeah. You're just controlling one character. But there's other things that are challenging in that.
So what else have you been playing, Bobby?
I started playing Master Reboot. It was on the Humble Bundle. Had my eye on this game for a while. It looked interesting.
Master Reboot. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, it's a strange game. It was not what I expected at all. It's kind of an adventure, mystery, bit of puzzle mixed in there, 3D, very futuristic. A bit of a horror twist on it as well. Very surreal. They don't tell you what's going on. You kind of figure out the plot and the story as you progress through the game, like things are revealed to you. I've only played about an hour of it. But
it looks very exploratory.
Yeah. The graphics are... For some reason, I thought this was an indie title, but I don't think it is. But the graphics look like it could use a little bit more polishing, but I kind of like this game. I think I might actually continue to play this because for some reason, I try out a lot of games, and if they hook me, they hook me. If they don't, then I move on to another one. This one, I think, has some staying power, and I'll probably stick with it.
Really?
Yeah, so
Very bright and colorful, which I think is an appeal for you.
Old school. Really old school to me, too. Kind of like Light and Dark or whatever that was for NES. I forget the name of it. Sorry.
So you like it, though?
So far, Metacritic gave it a 59, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Steam users, I think, gave it 86%. So, I don't know. Like I said, I've only played an hour of it. I'll probably come back with a little more of an in-depth opinion. But so far, it's piqued my interest.
I don't think you've run into what it was that fucked everything up for everybody. Whatever it is.
You think there's like a glitch or something?
No. Maybe like a really hard puzzle or... I don't know. We'll see.
I read a few of the reviews, and some of them seem to be criticizing the graphics and just, I don't know. I couldn't really get a feel. You know, a lot of times you read reviews on Metacritic and you try to see, like, what's people's problem with this game. And sometimes it's really apparent, sometimes not so much.
Bobby, can you think of something that you really enjoyed that was shit on from everybody else? Or Chad?
I'd have to think on that for a minute. Not off the top of my head.
I'm like the opposite. I like everything that everybody likes. I like everything generally.
Yeah, you just like everything.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going to have a disposition that you could choose, would you take somebody... I want to be somebody that likes everything or somebody that hates everything.
True. You're right.
And I do... I'm not faking any of it. I really like a lot of stuff.
Well, I think the older you get and the more you play and the more experiences you have... kind of takes away from any new experiences that come in. And I find myself, it's not that I don't like something or I think it's bad. It's just that I've seen it before. And so like my mind immediately kind of...
negative.
It immediately kind of just turns me off to it.
This is why this whole thing works. The cynic and the optimist or whatever.
No. People just like new experiences.
Yeah.
And you've got a terrible memory. So everything is a new experience for you.
Yeah, it's true. I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Yeah. What is this called? A sandwich?
Yeah.
Oh, this delicious. Is amazing.
It's amazing. Anything else, Bobby, you've been playing?
I think that is about it. Wait, let me check. I think I might have wrote something else down here. No.
Okay. Well,
that was definitive.
Wait, who has a terrible memory?
Yeah. So I had the opportunity. I didn't buy Valiant Hearts, but I had the opportunity to play Valiant Hearts. So I put in probably 6 or 8 hours of Valiant Hearts. Didn't quite get through the game, but got to chapter 3. I liked the game. I didn't love the game.
Is this gameplay that we're watching, or is this that's gameplay?
This is gameplay. Yeah, it's very maybe cartoon,
hand drawn.
It's very hand drawn. Mm-hmm. It's by Ubi Art,
okay,
which is the same one that did Child of Light. I believe they did a couple other things.
It seemed like a very visual,
visual, trying different things, focusing more on the visual aspect as opposed to the deep gameplay.
Right.
A lot of this stuff has kind of a, and this kind of reminded me of The Fall actually, because it's a side scroller where you're set in this World War I time period.
Sure.
Which you don't see a whole lot of World War One. No. It's a lot of World War Two, right, but not World War One.
Because it sucked. Nobody liked it. It was
well,
terrible.
Well, it was like,
not that anybody likes
they
war.
They had just invented the machine gun, so it was like. But anyways, so it's set in World War One, but it's a side scroller, and you'd think there would be action, and there are some action periods where you're trying to avoid like bombs dropping on you.
It almost looks point and click to me.
But it's more point and click. Like, you go and you pick up an item, and then you use this item to do that. And it's puzzles that to figure out. So it was good. The puzzles are pretty simplistic. I never really got stuck on any puzzles. It's pretty straightforward. There's not a whole lot there.
Man, it looks like a Flash game to me, man.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was good. It wasn't great.
Okay.
You know?
You know, Yahtzee liked this game.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like anything.
Yeah.
He also likes Firefall. So he likes the opposite of everything you like.
Yeah. If you can get this game cheap, or if you can play your buddy's game, I would recommend playing it. If not, I wouldn't recommend buying it.
Are you going to finish it up?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm curious to know how the story ends, because there is a story involved. But I was running into some locks, and it happened like 2 or 3 times, and then I was like, okay.
Like, dude, you loved Eve, and you haven't gone back to that. And you love that game.
I still do. I'm still leveling up my skills.
So you're playing? Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I played Valiant Hearts this week. And the other game that I got into new, finally I booted up Skyrim. I've honestly been a little bit nervous because Amelia like had 27 steps for me to go in to play this game.
How many of those steps did you do? Like 2.
So what I did was I did a search for GameSpot has a YouTube tutorial on ENB to load up the ENB, which basically is a
graphics
modifier.
And lighting. Yeah.
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 So there's a thing called ENB, which works for a bunch of games, but Skyrim, it's all created by this guy, and he does a bunch of stuff. But if you want to like make your game,
you're talking about the tutorial video.
No, the EMB. This Boris,
this particular guy,
Vorontaz, and so he does this thing called ENB, but he does it for a bunch of games. So he does it for Skyrim, and most of these Skyrim mods work off the ENB.
Oh, I see.
So you probably don't
he
even know this.
He made EMB as a concept.
EMB is a graphics modifier.
Oh.
So all these EMB stuff that you use for Skyrim all use the EMB that this guy...
I had no idea.
...that this guy makes. So I made the... I used this Real Vision EMB.
You did Real Vision?
Yeah, Real Vision.
And you went with
the performance for Real Vision.
Yeah, so Real Vision is the... Well, it was until very recently the top ENB for Skyrim. So, but I can't run it even on like moderate. So I know you went, you kind of went with the ugliest girl that doesn't cost a lot, kind of.
So I went with the ugliest girl at the
whorehouse.
At the whorehouse, okay.
Yeah, on the wrong street.
It still looks decent.
No,
I mean,
no. Yeah,
I'm not complaining about
it's
the graphics.
It's better than vanilla.
I haven't seen vanilla, so I can't give you a comparison. But it was running. It was running smoothly. It looked decent for a game that's a couple years old now.
Yeah,
I was happy with it. I played a couple hours with it.
A couple hours. When I walked in, you were very
That was
like 20 minutes.
That was several repetitions.
In Why?
That. Because you have to like set INI files and all sorts of stuff. Like this YouTube video that I watched goes through all of it. So if you're a newbie at modding Skyrim, I highly recommend. It's called GameSpot's Skyrim E&B tutorial for their top 5 mods.
So guys, like we've talked about it a lot about how much time, like I've spent more time modding Skyrim than I have been playing, but that's an exaggeration, but some weeks that is what happens and you're like, why would you want to do that, or what's the motivation? And I keep going back to the analogy of like a dude that works on his hot rod in his garage. Like you go in and you tinker and you get it just the way you want it. It's going to sound the way you want it. It's going to look the way you want it. It's going to play the way you want it. There's so many options. If you can think about it, there's a Skyrim mod for it. And then you have to get them to all work together. And that's why I told Chad, one of the first things you need to do is you have to, once you get it to base level, you need to save that and put it in a separate folder, because you're going to fuck your game up. At some point, two mods aren't going to work. You're going to get the wrong load order and fuck it all up. And you're like, oh, I'm done with this. Let me start from scratch again. And then you'll have that separately. We'll get into it more next week, I think.
It's just crazy. Like this whole concept of modding.
PC exclusive. Thank you very much.
Like you got to modify INI files and stuff like that.
That's the
like,
only time.
It's just like.
EMB is the only time you have to do that.
Like, you should, like, it should be an easier way to do this.
There should be a program that does EMBs for you. Yeah, I totally agree.
But I'm having fun. The game looks awesome. I'm already interested in the story, even though I don't know, because I haven't played any of the Elder Scrolls, so I don't know anything that's of anything.
I don't think you really need to.
I don't know. You start off in a cart, and you're tied to the cart.
What'd you think of that?
And it was cool. Like. But they're talking about different things, and this is the Lord of Mordor, or whatever the hell he's calling it, and I have no idea what's going on with any of this.
As you wouldn't.
I think people that have played the earlier Skyrim, the earlier Ender Scrolls.
I really don't, because it's like Skyrim is a location, and this story is original to that. The only thing Elder Scrolls means is a powerful artifact that's in the world. There, besides the Daedra, I could go on and on and on, but we won't. So what I've been playing is nothing, but I do have something to talk about. I'm going to be upgrading my rig. I know we've been talking about it, but literally the last parts I needed are on their way as we speak. So we're going to do that. I think Bobby and I are going to make a video of the build and put it up on our YouTube channel now that we have one. Now that we're legit, if you will. So I'm not going to say that it's going to be entertaining, but maybe I'll get a little drunk and maybe we'll have a little fun. But seriously, I have nothing novel to talk about. I've been playing all the things that I can jump into. I know that I have fun. I've been jumping into Smite. I've been jumping into Binding of Isaac. I've been jumping into Hearthstone. And that's pretty much it.
Should we talk Hearthstone a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, we talk every week, but this will be our last week because the last wing opened. I played through, opened all everything, did all the heroics, all of that. Naxxramas is done. I was excited to get it done. I really enjoyed Naxxramas. I thought it was a little pricey. 4 wings at $7 each. You're talking about, you know, basically 2 Steam games at $28. You know. Yeah. I thought
unless you farm your gold, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, you can. If you want to put serious hours in, you can do it.
Which I didn't, and that's why I fell behind, and that's why I can't talk.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was really well done. I can't wait for the next expansion, the next single player to come out for this.
So there's a little. So you might be excited or just. They've talked about it, and there's going to be 100 cards in the next expansion, but it's not going to be. Through this mode, it's just going to be in card packs.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think I like more. I mean, I didn't have a. Okay, so put it to you this way: you spent 6 hours killing one dude.
Mm-hmm.
You played Valiant Hearts for 6 hours. Which one did you enjoy more? It's got to be Valiant Hearts, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably. Right?
Like a lot more.
Well, the 6 hours I spent on Gothic the Harvester was not enjoyable for me.
Right.
It was like, so mad. The first hour was fun, and then it was like, fuck this guy. Seriously.
Especially when he talked to me about it, I was like, who? Oh, yeah. It was no problem.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, have you played any of this stuff yet?
I just started playing some of the first one. What is it, Naxxramas?
Yeah, the very first Arachnid one. Corner.
Yeah, and I beat that not on heroic, but just...
Oh, good luck.
Yeah. Beating it on regular is not beating it. Yeah. Like, that's just okay. Yeah.
If it goes to a second game, it's a surprise. Like, I crushed them.
Then, if it goes to a second game, then their hero ability specifically counters whatever deck you pick.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
no
fun.
No feather in your cap, sir.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've played Hearthstone in months, so I'm not...
If I were to guess, you don't have the cards to beat the heroics, if I were to guess, because he's paid so little.
Yeah,
probably not. And I used the Paladin deck to beat all the bosses in that I played, just because that's the only deck I know. I don't even think I'd remember how to play anyone else in that. So, yeah, it was fun. I really liked the single-player content. I like the fact that you can stop the game, go do something else, and come back and pick it up. The single player definitely has its appeal, and I hope they keep putting out more content like this. Not only the heroic or the normal and the heroic mode in there, but there are also quests where you could beat this boss with this deck.
Yeah,
did you see those?
The class quests.
Oh, the class ones.
Yeah, class ones.
And so. That was a very clever way. That was maybe my favorite part of the whole thing. I like they were easy, of course, but I kind of like that. This is how you earn the class cards. There was only 30 cards in this expansion. There wasn't very much at all. I guess we don't know when the next expansion is going to come out, but I'm more excited about the second one than I am about more cards, more randomness. Like, after this expansion, everybody has the same cards, though, man.
I'm still shocked they haven't done Monk yet. That just boggles my mind.
Yeah, maybe that'll be part of it as well. Maybe that's part of the 100 cards, you know?
I hope so.
All right, should we move on into news?
Sure.
Yeah.
So they have announced Legend of Grimrock 2. This is only news because how much Bobby enjoyed that first game. I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, Legend of Grimrock. And I'm excited that they're doing a sequel to this because after talking about it last week, I almost wanted to play it again, but it's a bit of a long game. I think I beat it in 20 hours, which is a fairly long run. And I wish I could go through it again, but with new content. So a sequel would be perfect. It's going to come out on the iOS as well. I think it'd be a good iOS
game. No. The iOS, it's been... the first game is announced for iOS.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I mean, now that they got that shit down, I'm sure the second one will be as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What type of game is this?
This is the one... Wizardry, remember?
Oh,
that was
okay.
The best analogy I could come up with.
But it's grid-based,
it's
RPG.
It's first-person.
First-person, but you're controlling four people.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
And
this is the one with the cube as the last boss?
Yeah, it's this weird mechanical...
Spoilers!
It was a good boss fight at the end. The second one's going to be 25% longer than the original. I have a feeling since I've played through the original, I've got the format down, I could go through the second one a little faster. But this is definitely one I'm picking up and playing.
Sound a little cocky over there.
Yeah, it does.
Just a little bit.
Well, no, when you play a game, you get used to it. And then I experienced this with Warcraft 3. Playing through it again, I'm going through it way faster, it's way easier. You know, you just get better at games when you play through them once or if you played, like, the first version of it.
So you're going to go through maybe, like, a harder difficulty, maybe?
Yeah, probably not.
Is this based on Dungeons & Dragons or any of the other established...
I mean, everything is, isn't it?
Well, I mean, like, does it have lore and all? Or is it a separate lore or is it based off a particular...
No, it has its own lore, right? It's a prison. Right? You're working your way outside of a prison.
You're trying to escape a prison. You keep finding notes that was left behind someone else who successfully escaped. If I remember right, there wasn't a whole lot of a story here. There was a story, but not nearly as much as some of these other games. Definitely not Skyrim, which I appreciate. You don't have to burden me with all that information.
Does it have like the traditional elf, orc, ogre style?
It does.
It's traditional, traditional
insect
fantasy.
Guy, though, right?
A reptile.
Reptile? Is that what it is?
And there's different classes. You can get a warrior, hunter, and you position them accordingly with your hunter in the back. You know, you have four characters, and they're square. So you have two in front, two in back, one on the right, one on the left. The people up front will take the melee attacks. Yeah, it's a typical 3D grid-based RPG. If you've ever played one of those, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you should definitely check out Legend of Grimrock. It's a fun type of game, and I wish there were more of them.
And just so you listeners know, when I said insect, Bobby scowled at me and said reptile.
I didn't scowl. No, I had to think for a minute.
Oh, that's what it was going. Yeah. Okay. It was intense, whatever it was. All right. So Windows 9, there's going to be a preview in September. And this is...
Oh, my God.
This is all they said. This is the one line. This is going to be to Vista what 7 was like 9. 9 is going to be to 8 what 7 was to Vista. And that's what they promised. But
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who say Microsoft gets the operating system right every other year.
Yeah,
which,
exactly.
I don't know. I think
that makes sense, right?
Well, Microsoft always has a year where they try something really out there, and then they see how people react to it, what works, what didn't. And then the second one is kind of a response to that.
But so, you're an 8 fan.
Yeah, I like 8. It's fine. It's got some under-the-hood stuff that I really like. It has native support for mounting images like ISO files, which I think is really cool. If you have file transfers going, you can stop, pause, cancel individual ones, which this is stuff that Mac has had for a while, but it's good to see it finally on a Windows machine.
If you're scratching your head at home, so in Chad and I, we have no idea.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I think 9's going to be good. They haven't nailed down what exactly the features are going to be, but I don't think they're going to keep the start screen. I think they're going to bring back the Windows start menu.
Yeah, they are. They said that.
That's for sure?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. I would be surprised if they didn't, because that is what everyone was super upset about. And I don't know. It wasn't that big of a deal to me. I mean, I remember when Windows didn't even have a start menu. Anyway.
And on to the next thing. Metal Gear Solid, which I've been talking a lot about. Did you guys get to see the video that I posted and I've been talking about? You guys are dicks.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway.
I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game, so it's one of those franchises that when someone's just, they get excited about it, I don't, because I just don't have any history with it.
So we're talking near photorealistic graphics. I mean, it looks fucking amazing. The interplay that you do when you're sneaking around. Like, I've said multiple times on this podcast that I'm not a stealth guy, but this makes it look really fun. The only reason I'm bringing it up, besides, I even put it on the Steam group. There's a link. It should be near the top if you guys want to check it out. The reason I'm bringing it up again is I really liked Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
Mm-hmm.
This has something very akin to that. So you have your own base on PvP server, and I guess you work on it and try to build it up, and you try to thwart other Solid Snakes from sneaking into your shit. But what I thought was interesting was that resources are something you could actually see. They're like the carts that they put on trains. What are those called? The container things. Whatever. So
container things. Yeah. Yes, I think that's their official name.
What is that called? Right there. He's climbing it.
It's a container. That's a container.
Container what?
Yeah,
exactly.
A railway container.
No, I don't think so. Nice okay. Try though. Anyway.
It
so
sounded real.
He's got these little things that they're like parachutes, or they kinda like take him up into the sky.
Geyser says you're stupid. They're called shipping containers.
Shipping containers. Thank you very much.
So anyways,
you attach them to whatever you want to steal, and it takes it up in the sky. You can see right there, and then your plane comes and catches it, and now it becomes part of your resources. So not only are you invading their shit,
you're stealing their shit
and adding it to your own shit. And when you come back and see that all your shit's gone, you can see who did it
and go take it back.
Yeah. So I thought it was really cool. And that's something because the single player game looks amazing on its own.
Yeah, the graphics look awesome.
Yeah, they didn't have to add this, and they did.
How much later is it coming out on PC compared to consoles?
Hey, Cynic, calm down a little bit. I don't know. Who cares?
I mean,
it's coming.
It's important, because are we talking GT 5 where we're not going to see this for another year?
Do you have a backlog of games to keep you?
No, I'm ready to go right day one on this thing.
Bobby, I know you're not excited. You need to be excited. Metal Gear Solid games are probably...
I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game.
Well, I'm sure they're very popular.
They're very good.
I'd imagine that's for a good reason.
Yep.
All right, what else we got news-wise?
I have no idea.
Facebook extends bug bounty to Oculus Rift.
Really interesting, huh? So, if you have an Oculus and you're working on it and you're a dev and you find a bug, they'll pay you a minimum of $500 for that bug. Facebook will.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a minimum. And you can find a whole bunch of them and report them. I think this is maybe the greatest way of debugging a program.
So they basically don't have a QA team? They're just having people report bugs?
Well, if you look at the name of it, it's the Oculus Rift Development Kit. So, you know, it's going to come inherently with a bunch of bugs. And if you incentivize things, people carrot and stick, here we go again.
Yeah, that's true.
I just thought it was a very novel, maybe not novel, but a very good way of doing things.
Yeah.
Cool. Bobby?
No, sounds good. I mean, that's the way to do it. Find bugs, patch them. Better than hiring people to do that job for you. Just open it up and outsource it to everybody.
Yeah. When we were talking about Legend of Grimrock and I talked about Wizardry, I mean, I don't know how many people listening will know what Wizardry was, but it's a very old school game. But one even older than Wizardry for me was Shadowgate. Shadowgate was the first time I played a real RPG. That was my first RPG. And it was first person, and you kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was grid-based, and you walked through it, and it was so old. Like, you had five or six things you could do to interact with the environment. Was, like, speak, hit, do this, do that. Anyway, some company...
Is it all text-based?
No, almost, though. I mean, the graphic... There's the old one. You see it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, super old, and then they compare it. That's you shit. So somebody took the entire old game and redid it in modern graphics, and I'm glad that they did it. I don't know if I'm going to pay the $15. I remember getting to the last... I was a kid when I played this, and I think I only rented it for the
night.
So
that was really old then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking about 75 years ago.
At least.
Yeah. But for me, nostalgia-wise, this is a game that speaks to my heart. $15 to play it again, I don't know if I'm doing it, but I'm glad that other people think that it was important enough to do this.
Hmm.
You guys never played it for the end of this?
No,
never played Shadowgate.
Do you have any interest in maybe, now that you've seen this?
Yeah, no, it looks interesting, and I think it'd be better because I haven't played it as a kid. I think playing this one now, it'd be a fresh experience.
Yeah,
because
it's a complete, like, frame-by-frame game redo.
Yeah.
So for me, it would be new, except for it's 47 years ago.
Yeah. That's cool that they're bringing back some of these old titles. I noticed they were advertising Gauntlet as well. I'm kind of excited about that one.
That one is huge for me. I can't wait to play that Gauntlet. I'm really super excited for that Gauntlet.
When I saw Gauntlet and I knew that I was going to be able to play with you guys, I was excited. And then I saw the gameplay and I was like, this is like dog shit. It looks like
Gauntlet.
I guess. It doesn't look good.
I don't know what it was about that game when I was a kid, but that I had a lot of fun with that game.
No, nobody is denying that, but step your game up. You know? I don't know. It doesn't look...
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. Either take what it was and improve on it, or give me the old classic that I want to remember as the true and original.
I guess.
They're taking that stance on... It looks like they're taking that stance on it, where it's true to the original. It's basically the same game, just with the graphics up-res.
Right, but there was Gauntlets after the original Gauntlets that were like arcade machines that looked better than this. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe if it was by a small developer, I guess I can understand.
We'll see when it gets closer to the actual release on it.
Yep.
You know what they need to bring back now is Super Smash TV.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, we'd have a deal.
That's the original twin stick shooter, for me anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there was those old Atari games. But
just watching that gameplay footage of Gauntlet just reminded me of that for some reason.
And then finally, I don't know, I just want to throw this in here. John Carmack's kid's already making his own games. Like, he's obviously a son of a genius. It's not a great game. It's kind of like a Pong type thing.
How old is this kid?
He's 9.
Oh, okay.
He's 9 and he's just put out his first
game. Already smarter than us.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard John Carmack? Have you ever seen a John Carmack interview?
Mm-mm.
You'll just sit there and you'll be like, the fuck is this guy talking about? And I feel like I'm a person that can follow any conversation, but this guy, so he made this game called Angry Face. I just wanted to bring it up. I thought it was a cool anecdote that, it's cool to see the first official second generation of PC gaming. And it's kind of cool.
Awesome. All right.
Looks like dog shit, by the way. But anyway,
he's 9!
I'm just saying. Step your game up, 9-year-old.
Are you going to tell your kid? He's going to be like, hey, daddy, I drew a picture of you. You're like, there's no shading here.
Where's the perspective, asshole? Step your game up.
I'm clearly bigger than this tree. This would never happen.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right, let's wrap this up before we get any more of that. All right, so check us out. DLGaming.net is the website. You can email us at dudes@DLGaming.net. Check out our Steam group, DL Gaming, Twitter, DL Gaming, DOTnet. We got way too much of this shit.
No, do one thing, guys. Got to hit up the YouTube page.
Yep.
Yeah, if you do one thing in this lifetime, when you look back and be like, God damn, I'm so glad I clicked on that fucking YouTube page. Hey, you calm down over
there. Okay, my bad.
And you don't want to be there dying on your deathbed and being like, I should have clicked on that page.
You should have.
Yeah. That's what you're going to be thinking about. So you don't want to be that guy.
So click on the YouTube.
So click on the YouTube.
All right.
And subscribe.
And we're out.
Titties.